BBC Radio Berkshire. It's Tuesday and it's a little after two, which can mean only one thing. The BBC, the Berkshire Book Club, and we've come to take you home is the debut novel of a woman called Susan Gandar, whose other hat is a script consultant on BBC One's hit Saturday Night Staple, a quality offering from the BBC Casualty. Been running decades now, still remarkable, thought-provoking, fresh and informative, but the book itself is a poignant and heartfelt time slip novel set partly during the First World War. We've had that on the show a lot over the past couple of years, understandably. That coverage will continue. And this book is interesting because it's set kind of now, but also back in the days of the Great War. And I'm delighted to welcome to BBC Radio Berkshire Susan Gandar to tell us more. Good afternoon, Susan.
Hello, Paul.
So let's start with a novel, if we may. I've called it a time slip novel. Is that how you regard it? And how did you actually write it? Did you write the two periods in tandem? Or did you complete one story arc, as they call it, and then go back to the other one?
No, I wrote them together, absolutely entwined. The two characters and what happened in their lives. Each story developed in itself and tied itself into the other. It was sort of an organic process, if you like. And I don't really call it time slip because it's not really... that makes me think of Doctor Who.
Yeah, there's no TARDIS in it. There's no TARDIS, is there?
No TARDIS.
That idea's been nicked already.
Yeah, no, we didn't want to do that. So basically the stories are completely independent and then they come together at the end.
And tell us a bit, if you would, about the story from the Great War, set back in, I think, in fact, almost 100 years ago this or next month, April 1916.
Yeah, well, it starts in April 1916 and thousands of men left home to go and fight. And Jess, who's the young lady who lives in the 20th century, Jessica Brown, her dad is one of those men. He goes to fight, and a year later, he's still alive, unlike many of the guys who went. But it's very much about her life at home, with her family, with her mother and her brother. And she actually has to steal to keep her family from starving.
Unknown to her family, though, isn't that right?
Yeah. And then, of course, a telegram arrives, and I won't tell you what's in that telegram, but her whole life is ripped to pieces, basically.
OK, and we flash forward then three or four generations, and there's a character called Sam Foster, whose father is unwell, admitted to hospital, I think, with a suspected brain hemorrhage.
That's right, yes. And what happens is that he's admitted into intensive care and things are looking pretty grim. And as his condition worsens, Sam begins to get these dreams, which slip her into places and rooms, experiencing things that are very strange to her. And then what she realises is that actually what's happening, she's not actually having dreams, she's slipping into somebody else's life.
Ooh, do they get to meet?
They do eventually,
okay,
yes. You have to wait a bit.
We won't say any more than that, but I did want to ask you actually about the troubles afflicting the character Sam Foster's father, suspected brain hemorrhage, because reading about you, I learnt that very sadly your mum died suddenly of a brain hemorrhage. Was this difficult for you to write, or was this any way cathartic, Susan?
I think it was both, to be honest with you. It was very difficult to write. When I was looking at this novel, and I knew I had to have a modern day story, and I had to have a story that was gripping, because obviously Jess's story is very powerful, but you need a modern story that is as powerful. And I sort of dug around and tried to think of something, and I thought, what happened to you? That was awful. And in a way, yes, it has moved me forward, and at least it was a horrible time and it was horrible what happened to my mother, but it's in the book and hopefully people will read it and get something out of it. So yes, it is cathartic, as you say.
And as I mentioned, your connection with Casualty as a script consultant, did anything like that happen to have managed to filter its way into a storyline?
Well, what was really strange was when I went on to Casualty, I would very much wanted to do a story about organ donation. This was some years ago, actually, and obviously the problem is still the same, finding enough organs to give to people. And so we did a story, it was called Living Memories, and it was written by Sam Snape, and it was very, very important to me. And then about a year later, what happened with my mother, I found myself in exactly that same story. I was in the ambulance. The doors opened and there they were, the crash team. And it was really quite strange. It was everything that I'd been creating as a script consultant was actually happening in my life. Not nice.
And I suppose that only adds to the pressure at the time. Is it something you'd managed to discuss with your late mother?
No, interestingly, people have asked about this. We'd never as a family had discussed organ donation, not at all. never even thought about it. I mean, my mother was alive and well, and no one expected her to die at all. So when we ended up in hospital in the intensive care unit, it was only because of having researched and helped Sam put together that episode that I knew that she could be an organ donor. In fact, the doctors never approached us because they said afterwards that they were too concerned, because we were obviously having such a horrible, horrible time. They didn't want to bring the subject up, but I actually approached a doctor and said, am I right in thinking my mum could be an organ donor? And they were greatly relieved. My dad hated the idea, but we sat down as a family and talked about it, and we decided that the sort of person my mum was, that would be exactly what she would want to do. So we, as a family, agreed to go down that route. And it was a terrible time, and it wasn't nice, but I must say, looking back on it, I'm so glad that we did that, and it did help us. It was the light at the end of a very dark tunnel.
In fact, I've spoken to many people who've been through, not similar, because no situation like that can ever be similar, really. They're all different tragedies and mountains to climb in their own way. But many people say that that is at least something positive that can come out of the inevitable, which is why people are now saying, aren't they, that we should try and have those discussions relatively early with people about things like organ donation, because then there isn't that extra pressure, possibly, in confusion. But if we can set that aside for a moment, I want to congratulate you, because the book's had some fantastic reviews. You've also been selected by NetGalley, one of those influential cyber media or social media spaces, one of the top 10 new books for March. Have you always planned to be a novelist, Susan, given you've got writing in your background and creativity in your background?
Well, what happened was, when I was working with writers in TV, which I absolutely loved, it was a dream job, and it was a particularly good time in TV when we were very much, we were free to do the work we wanted to do, and I loved that job. But as the more I worked with the writers, the more I began to think and feel that perhaps I should have a go at it myself, and several of the writers said, you know, why don't you have a go? And then what happened was, actually, my husband got moved to Amsterdam. We went there to live for 2 years, and that's when I sort of began to try and write. So no, it was something I loved doing at school, and maybe I should have started much earlier in life, but you know, things don't work out that way. And what happened in my life, you know, with my mum's situation and everything else, definitely helped mould the book you've got in front of you now. So without all that experience, that book wouldn't exist as it is now.
I've not quite finished it. It's a remarkable read so far, very gripping. What I love
about
it,
thank you very much.
I'm not sure how it's going to end, which I love about a book. It's called We've Come to Take You Home. It's by Susan Gandar, Gandar. And I mentioned a creative family. I don't want to bang on about this, but your dad, with all respect to him, your late father, was greedy, because how many Oscars did John Box win, Susan Gandar? 4, wasn't it?
It was, and it's the most anyone has won, at least in this country, and actually probably in the world. Yeah, 4.
And here's a curious bit of synchronicity. On this day in history, 1917, Tsar Nicholas II abdicated, and one of the films which your dad won an Oscar for art direction was Nicholas and Alexandra.
Absolutely right. Yes, Nicholas and Alexandra.
He did Oliver, Lawrence of Arabia, and yeah. Dr.
Zhivago
was the fourth one. I mean, this is a remarkable career from a remarkable man.
Yes, he was the most extraordinary dad. I have to say, he probably wasn't what most people would regard as the most sort of, the dad that was always there, you know, holding your hand and guiding you through, because he was always off on location.
Well, short of recreating the Arabian deserts in Pinewood, he had to go abroad, didn't he, a fair bit?
Well, actually, the Arabian deserts were actually in Jordan. They are actually real deserts, Jordan deserts.
So you couldn't do that in the back garden. I mean, you wouldn't be there for sports day, would you?
You couldn't. No, you went off for 2 years. It was rather a long time to leave a six-year-old.
And here's the thing. I'm not sure how many siblings you've got. How many brothers and sisters have you got, if any, Susan?
One sister called Debbie.
Okay, so that means you've got an Oscar, you've got two spare. Can I have one? Wouldn't that be lovely? Where are the Oscars?
Send a bike down.
It's been a great pleasure to talk to you. Great fun, Susan. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your family memories and the expertise behind her first novel. A remarkable book. Had some great reviews, called We've Come to Take You Home. It's a NetGalley choice, one of the top 10 books for March. The book's We've Come to Take You Home by Susan Gandar, who is speaking to us live there from the West Country, from Devon. It's BBC Radio Berkshire. Thank you very much, Susan. It's SIT 222. Loving the sound of that, the Everly Brothers from